God is a good God. I was thinking of over in 1 John, sometimes people talk about us, all people being the children of God. And I got thinking about what John wrote over in 1 John, and he said, now are we the sons of God. Apparently we weren't before. He says, but now are we the sons of God. And because we accepted Jesus into our life, we become the children of God. Amen. And I'm just so grateful to be a part of the family of God. And, you know, it's been a great blessing to me over the years to just have a family and to be part of God's family. Amen. And it's just good. We've been talking about two kinds of seed. We know that there's two kinds. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to start with verse 6. And then we're going to go from there. We're going to go down to Mark. We're going to go to Mark 4, verses 13 and 14. But we've been talking about how that there's the seeds of the kingdom of God, and then there's the seed of the world, amen? There's what the world operates by. And when we first get born again, we don't know. You know, we just get born again. But that's when we learn that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness have nothing in common, amen? I was, Sunday I ministered about how that faith and fear are inverted. In other words, both are a form of faith. And what I mean by that is both of them are connected to confidence. But fear is confidence to the adversary being able to do his work in our life. And faith is confidence in God being able to do his work in our life. Amen? And so we know that fear is always based on the same thing faith is, by what we hear. Amen? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so if we hear the Word of God, then we're gonna move over into confidence in God. But if we hear only what the world is saying, and we hear only what's going on around us, we're going to build up confidence in evil or bad or negative or what I would call a negative hope. Faith in God gives us a positive hope, amen, a hope based on God. But fear, we start fearing. We start fearing society. We start fearing people. We start fearing the diseases. We start fearing all these things. Instead of keeping our hearts and minds stayed upon the Lord, we get caught up in the world and what's going on. And I don't want to misrepresent anything here because I usually take a little time in the day, and I heard Zig Ziglar say this years ago. He said, I get up every day and find out what God's doing. And he says, and then I turn the news on to see what the devil's doing, And I'm not against knowing. I mean, we know what our adversary's doing. But I don't want to let what he's doing dictate to me my life and my heart. Amen. Jesus made a statement when he was talking about end times. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. And that's a command from God. Don't let your heart be troubled, and don't let it be afraid. And you know, he wouldn't tell me not to do those things if I couldn't do it. And so I do it by making sure the Word of God and the things of God go in me at a greater proportion than the things of the world. Amen. We bring it into, it's one thing to hear a negative report. It's something else to take that negative report and bring it over into the light of God's Word. Amen. And so, yeah, we know that there's situations in the world and it's going on, but we also know we serve a God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that's working in us. Amen. So instead of focusing in on their report, we focus in on God's report. Amen. So there's two kingdoms, right? There's the kingdom of darkness, and there's the kingdom of God's dear Son. Amen. And we know that we've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness, and we have been placed into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So we're in the kingdom of God. So there's two types of seed. There's the seed that the world, and we know that words are seeds, as also are deeds, but words. And negative words are the seeds of the kingdom of darkness. And there's kingdom seed. And our hearts are going to receive both of them. But the word of God can choke out the negative, just as if we're not careful, the negative can choke out the good if we overindulge in the negative, right? Or that which is not of God. So looking at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6, it says, "Let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will also reap. He who sows to his flesh," in other words, if everything you're sowing, whether it's your words or your deeds, and it all comes out of your flesh, it says, "will of the flesh reap corruption." All right? But he goes on to say, "But if we will sow to the Spirit, we will of the Spirit reap everlasting life," or the God kind of life. And then he warns us, doesn't he? He doesn't warn us. He gives us a heads up. And he says, "And don't let us grow weary." And I think that in these days that we live in, I get around people, and I believe there's some weariness. We're letting some weariness get in us. And he warns us, don't let yourself be weary. I'm reading a book by E.W. Kenyon that the title of it is In His Presence. And the whole book is about prayer and how prayer is such a natural part of a Christian's life. And how that we always pray. I mean, I believe you pray. I mean, not that you're on your knees, but you talk to God through the day. If something's going on in your life and you invite him into that situation, amen? You see something going on and you bring God into that situation. It's not like you just, only have 15 minutes in the day, morning, and you pray, and then for the rest of the day, you don't even notice the presence of God. I mean, me and Sandy have been married for 44 years, and you guys are probably tired of hearing that. Well, just hang around. It'll be 45 soon. But we've been married for 44 years, and I wouldn't want to think that the only relationship I have with her is 15 minutes in the morning, and the next, 23 hours and 45 minutes, we don't even speak to each other. We don't know. But I gave her the 15 minutes, And I don't want that kind of a relationship with God. That's not my relationship with God. I do like to take time aside to pray, but I want to include him in everything in my I'll be pulling out of my yard and thank God for my home. I just thank you, Jesus, for where I live, or I'll be in my truck, which needs a bath very bad. And I'll be pulling out and I'll say, "God, thank you for a truck. I thank you for my truck. I thank you for something good to drive," because Sandy and I know what it is to drive cars that it took faith to drive. I mean, you had to have faith to get them to start and faith to stop them. And, you hoped it would start, our first car, it'd get where it wouldn't start. And Sandy's stepdad would come over with his hammer and tap it on the carburetor and get it to start. And, I know none of you know what I'm talking about, but it hasn't. So when I get in my truck and it starts right up and it takes me where I want to go, I'm grateful. Amen. And I want to take a moment and say, "God, thank you for the good in my life." So prayer, and in this book by E.W. Kenyon, the whole thing is about being aware of the presence of God in your everyday life. And I found out that the more I'm aware of the presence of God in my everyday life, the less opportunity I have to grow weary. Because I know in whom I... What did Nehemiah tell us? He told us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? You show me somebody with no joy, and I'll show you somebody with no strength. Because it's my joy that gives me my strength. Because joy, I believe, comes out of my reality of hope, an expectation of good things in my life. When you're always expecting good things, you got a joy about you. I'm in a situation, but this situation's changing. Right? I may not feel my best today in my body, but this situation's changing, because I have a hope, I have an expectation, because I'm sowing into my life the seeds of the kingdom of God. Amen? And so I'm taking that time. And, most of us have stuff to do, and I'm not going to mislead you. I don't just sit around and read my Bible all day. I mean, I watch some TV. I mean, I know I probably ought to get over that, but I do. I watch some TV, or I'll watch a show, or I'll watch. But I don't want to ever lose the reality of God's Word in my life always. Amen? That His Word is ever present in me. Amen? Holy Spirit is ever present in me. The Father is ever present or ever aware of who I am, and so I want to be aware of who He is and who He is in my life. Amen? And so we develop a relationship with God by making sure we sow the right seed into our life and we give it a place in our life to grow. And He warns us in verse 9, He says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we reap if we don't lose heart." And that ought to be so encouraging to us that we're going to reap if we just won't lose heart, if we won't become discouraged. And you know, you can always tell a discouraged person because that person will talk their discouragement. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. Every one of us, I shouldn't say that, I don't know everybody, but I've been discouraged. So I'm not throwing rocks at somebody. I've been discouraged. But I've learned over the years, and I've grown in my relationship with God, that they get fewer and fewer and fewer, and I become more and more aware of how faithful God is in my life. Amen? How faithful He is. I want you to look with me over in Mark 4. So we want to talk about tonight the two, we've been talking about the two types of seed. And that's the seed of the kingdom of this world and then the seed of the kingdom of God. But look at what it says here in verse 13, chapter 4 of Mark in verse 13. Now, in this parable, Jesus speaks of a sower. Amen. And I know that we, in our modern turn, most of us, if we had to live on what we grew, we'd probably be in trouble. For the 4 years we've been there and where we're living now, I think I've tried to grow a garden at least three of the 5 years. This will be my fifth summer. I just decided it's cheaper to just go to the store, you know, than me grow it. Because first of all, I spend a lot of water on it. I do all that. And then my thumb is not green. And I don't want you to misunderstand me. I don't eat very many vegetables anyway. But no more than I'm going to buy, I'll just go to the store and get them. But the thing is, most of us couldn't live on what we're growing. Amen. Thank God for stores. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, we don't pay much attention to sowing and reaping. But that's what life is all about, is sowing and reaping. If you got a good marriage, it's because you sowed for one. You know? As we get older, we wish we had sowed better health seeds in our lives. You know what I mean? And you know, it's a lot easier to get on top of things when you're younger than waiting until you're older and then trying to get on top of things. It can be done, but it's a lot more challenging, okay? And so my point isn't to put anybody down. My point is that our life is made up of what we sow, you know? And it's just the way it is, and there's no way around it. And the writer, Paul, wrote, as he wrote Galatians, he said, God's not mocked. What we sow, we're going to reap. So that's always good to keep that in mind. And so we're all sowers, right? We're all sowing. You know, we're sowing good seed or we're sowing. And I heard this years ago about our words, and I thought that is so awesome, that the way that was presented to me. And that is the guy I was listening to. He said, every word carries electrical charge. He says it either brings a charge of encouragement or it can bring a charge of discouragement. It can bring a charge of hope or it can bring a charge of despair. What's coming out of my mouth is sowing into others, right? Hope or despair. You know, and so we want to be careful that we fill our words. He called them chalices. Our words are chalices that are filled with hope, despair, faith or fear, compassion or, you know, angry. You know, we're all sowing. Amen. And then we sow natural things, you know. Now, we know that in the New Testament, Paul did away with the whole dietary restriction thing. He said that if we sanctify it with prayer and with thanksgiving, we can. But we know this, when Paul said that, God didn't create Fruit Loops. Y'all know that, right? God didn't create Cheerios. Those are man-made, right? Now, I'm not telling you not to eat them. I'm just saying, be careful. You know, be smart. You know, and it's like somebody, have you ever looked at a package of, have you ever looked at a thing of margarine? Have you ever seen how much stuff is in it? Have you ever looked at a thing of butter? Milk and salt. You look at margarine, there's things in there I can't even pronounce. And they're trying to tell me what man did is better than what God did. Nah, I'm not buying. Now, I'm not against anybody. One thing I know is we all eat what we want to eat, right? I mean, hopefully you can afford it to eat what you want to eat. And the thing is, but my point is, you know what? We're sowing, whether it's what we eat or what we put into our minds or what we're sowing into our life, right? Or what we're doing to other people. I remember when Richard, our oldest son, was just a little kid. I mean, just 18 months old. Sandy would tell him how smart he was. And she'd say, "You're smart." And he got where he'd go around saying, "I parch." You know, he couldn't say smart, so he was parch, you know. And we had a pastor friend that would hear, and he'd say, "He's going to grow up and be so arrogant." But what's funny is Richard grew up, and he believed he was smart. Now he knows 3 or 4 languages. So I'm not going to say it was just because we said he was smart, but you got to believe, you know, and what we're confessing. I mean, if every time you change your baby's diaper, you call him a poop head, don't think it's strange when he turns out to not, you know. We need to build up. We need to encourage. We need to uplift. Amen? We need to speak life over our children, over our spouses, over our family. And I know this is not popular, but we should start speaking life over our government, over our nation, over the world we're living in. Hey, if we all agree it's going to hell in a handbasket, who's going to believe for something else? I mean, we got to believe. I mean, and I'm not denying the problems out there. I'm just saying. I'm just saying we want to speak life. We want to speak life, not just. And I don't want you to misunderstand me. I've said things that I shouldn't have. Okay, so I'm preaching to myself. All right, but look what it says here in verse 13. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables?" So he's telling us if we understood this parable, we would understand all parables. He said, "The sower sows what? The word." Now, I spent time a week or so ago going through this whole parable, right? And maybe some of you will remember it, and maybe it wasn't that memorable. But I spent some time doing it. But what I wanted to bring out is he was talking about a sower that the only seed he sowed was the word. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I don't think we have to sow King James. But we need to sow into our lives the principles and the truths that are in God's word. Right? I'm listening to the New Living Translation. And one of the things that struck me, it was in Matthew where he's talking about if you don't give up your life, you can't have God's life, the life that God has for you. And in the New Living, it says, if you will give up your selfish life. And I mean, that just hit a chord, it just hit a note with me. He wasn't saying throw away your life. He's saying get rid of your selfish life. And then you can have the life I have for you. And if we're not careful, our society promotes living a selfish life. Right? But as Christians, we want to live a life that is a life for all, everybody around us. I'd say this every once in a while. As the head of my home, wasn't so I could be lord and dictator. It was so to create an environment where everybody in the home could succeed. Right? So Sandy could be successful. So my boys could be successful. Because that's what it's all about. It's not about, my Bible says, train up your children in the way they should go. Not train them up in the way you want them to go. Because everybody's different. And everybody has different plans. And may God created us for different reasons. But you know what? If I would just train them up in the things of God, God will guide them into what He has them plan for their life. Amen? And so the whole environment in our home should be about creating an environment where people can be successful in that place. It's not about me being there to get my way. It's about how can we all succeed? No, yes, anybody care, right? So we want to be successful because we want to fulfill God's plan, amen? Because I believe God has a plan for every one of us. And you know what? I think one of the reasons there's so many sad people in this world that we live in is they believed the plan the world presented instead of believing the plan that God has for them. If some of us would have just did God's plan for our life, we'd be a lot happier. And when the world stands over you and says, you need to be like this and you need to do that, and if you do this and that. No, what is God's plan for your life? Amen. And you think, well, I'm a pastor, I'm older now. I don't care how old you are. God's got a plan for the rest of your life. God don't quit. Amen? He's still got a plan for our life. And so we just need to be trusting Him. But the sower went out and he sowed the word. And that was the only seed he sowed. You know, in the Old Testament, God gave the children of Israel instruction that they weren't supposed to sow mixed seed. Kind of interesting. In other words, you didn't sow two seeds, two different types of seed in the same field. Anybody know why? They'll cross-pollinate. And that's what's wrong with some of us, is we've cross-pollinated. We got the seed of God in us, but we got the seed of the world in us, and we've cross-pollinated, and it's created something that's not just right. Amen? When I was a kid, we lived in Jackson, outside of Placerville. And there was these trees out in the back of the property and they had fruit on them. Well, when I got out there, they were a cross-pollinated pear and a peach. And it was gross. It didn't taste like either one. It had cross-pollinated. I don't know how it happened, but it was the strangest thing. But you know what we do? Is if we're not careful, we live our whole life cross-pollinated and we never really produce the fruit in our lives that God wants for our life. No, yes. So we want to make sure that, and don't misunderstand me, you know, just because something gets, let's say the TV or somebody says something to that don't mean you have to accept it into your spirit. Just because it got in your head don't mean you have to get it down in your heart. You can stop it. Amen? Somebody comes up to you and says something negative about you, you can stop that by saying what God says about you. Amen? And one thing I've learned over the years is you feeling bad about yourself does not make you better. It don't make you better. So find out what God says about you. Amen? And start saying that over you. And you know what? God's not offended because you believe what He said about you. You know, I hear people, well, you need to be humble. The humblest thing I can do is believe God's word. That's the humblest thing I can do, is believe what God says. Go over to Matthew 13. So the sower went out to sow, and he said the seed that this sower sowed was the word of God. And the word there is logos, or the written word. That's what he sowed. And he sowed that, and he talks about the hearts of men and what that seed produces in each heart. Now, in the last heart, he says that the seed finds a good and honest heart. Amen? Now, one of the things I've learned over the years is not everybody's honest. I know that's shocking some of you. But not everybody's honest. And some of us are just not even honest with ourselves. Right? We got to be honest with us. And so, you know, the word finds an honest heart then you need to be honest with the Word. Now, have you ever had the Word come into you and you get in conflict with it? I have. Have you ever argued with God? You won't win. And what I've learned about God is when you snub Him or just kind of try to ignore Him, the next time you talk to God, He's going to bring it up. He doesn't just go on. He brings it up again, right? Because He knows what's best for us because we're His children. Amen? The Father does know best. Amen? And so we want to be honest. So let that Word find a good and honest heart. And so it can produce in our life. But in Matthew 13, and in verse 18, it says, therefore hear the parable of the sower. It's Matthew telling basically the same thing. When anyone hears the words of what? The kingdom. Hears the words of the kingdom. Now, in Mark, he says he sowed the word, but Matthew gives us an insight into what that word was. It was the words of the kingdom. The words of the kingdom. Now, I think one of the greatest examples of this is Ron's favorite verse, where it tells us, it talks about having your needs met and how that He can clothe you better than the lilies of the field. And He can take better. If you get a news report that there's thousands of birds in Sacramento starving to death, you know it's not true. Because my Bible says God meets the needs of the sparrow, okay? He feeds them. And He uses me to feed some of them. Because they seem to like the same food my chickens like. You know, I've tried to move away from just having a big can of feed out there because I was making lots of friends. And it was costing me a lot of money to have all these friends. So I went to where I'm just, in the morning when I let my chickens out, I just feed them. I'll just put the food out there, some food out there. But I found out there's some other birds sitting on the fence because I'm helping God feed them. Right? But the thing is, He said, I'll feed you. I'll clothe you. He says, I know that you have need of these things. But then He goes with this. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God, right? And His righteousness, and all the things will be added to your life. But the Amplified says, seek first God's way of doing. And that's what we're talking about here, is the words of the kingdom should be God's way of doing. And God's way of doing should become our way of doing, right? And isn't that the struggle, to do it God's way as to the world's way? When in my morning prayers, when I'm praying, one of the scriptures I use very often is where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. To me, that's Matthew 6:33. To me, that's a Matthew 6:33. Seek God's way of doing and being right, which is telling me when you do it God's way, you're being right. But if I don't do it God's way, I'm being what? Wrong. And it's hard to believe for the blessing of God upon your life when you know in your heart you're doing things that aren't right. Because the Bible says that if our hearts don't condemn us, right, then we can ask what we will and our prayers are asked because our hearts ain't condemning. Because in our hearts we know, hey, I'm doing the words and the way of the kingdom. Now, I'm not saying you're perfect. God never asked us to be perfect. God just said be obedient. And you know what's neat about obedience? All you have to do is what you're asked. You don't have to come up with something new. You don't have to figure it out. Just, what did He say? Do that, right? And what I loved about God is He told me more as I grew in Him. The more I matured, then the more He revealed to me, right? When I first got born again, there's a lot of things I didn't know, and there was a lot of things I wasn't doing right, but he still blessed me, he still loved me, he still took care of me, he still, but as I grew in grace and I grew in the knowledge of him, then I started moving closer and doing more of what he wanted me to do, changed my perspective on things, started letting go of the selfishness and letting go of the strife or the envy or working a little harder about my marriage or how to raise my kid. What is it doing? As God gives me revelation, then I move out into a new place, but I'm only, the Bible says, to him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Right? And that's why I believe that God is slow, which, that take that in the right frame of mind, why he's slow sometimes to reveal things to our life, because if we're not willing to do them, it just puts us in a place of rebellion. Right? You know, if I told my kids to do something and they didn't do it, then they're rebellious. That's being rebellious, right? Now, my one son, my oldest son, he was kind of a lawyer guy, you know, in his mind. And you'd say to him, hey, Richard, clean off the table. Clear the table. You'd say, clear the table after dinner. And we'd leave and go in there and we'd come back in and it'd all be on the counter. Now, he knew what we meant. He knew we meant put them in the dishwasher. You know, he knew that. But he did exactly what you asked him to do, right? And then you would call him on it, and he'd say, Dad, you told me to clear the table. And I cleared the table. So I quit telling him to clear the table. It was, Richard, clean the kitchen. No loopholes here, right? Because he was that kind of guy. Just, he would do exactly what you said, so you better say exactly what you want. Now, I know you didn't raise any kids like that. They all got traits, and you know what? Now that he's older, being a person that followed an exact order worked out quite well for him after 20 years in the military. You know what I mean? So traits can be good and they cannot. But my thing is we have to come to a place in our life where when we hear God's word and it gets into our heart and into our soul, into our mind and becomes a part of us, we understand our obedience to it is the avenue of God's blessing in my life. That's what he said in Matthew 6:33. He says, then all the things are added. He didn't say subtracted. He didn't say taken away. It says added to your life. And you know what's neat about it? When something's being added to you, you don't have to seek it. See, some of us are seeking things that God says, I want to add. In the Old Testament, was it in Deuteronomy 28, where he said that the blessings of the Lord would overtake us? I don't know what you know what overtake means. Do you ever watch the documentary where the cheetah is overtaking the gazelle? He's overtaking him, right? Well, God says his blessings will overtake me. So it's really neat how in your life, things will come in your life, you know, your desires of your heart, things, and they just come. You didn't have to make it happen. You didn't have to work at it. It just came. And man, what a blessing of the Lord. Amen. And so we want to be people that are doing it God's way. We want to get the words of the kingdom in our hearts and in our minds. But in verse 18 of 13, in Matthew, it says, therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anybody hears the words of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside. In other words, he's explaining. The point that I wanted to bring out to you was the fact that Matthew calls the seeds of the kingdom. Okay? So that's what we want. Now, look at verse 24 in the same book in 13. It says, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows good seed in the field. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows good seed in the field, right? But listen to this. But while men slept, his enemy comes to sow tares among the wheat. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to sow enough tares in your life that it keeps you from able to enjoy the good seed, the fruit of the good seed. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I think every one of us have to guard our hearts for that. Because, you know, one thing I've learned about our adversary is he's patient. If he don't get you today, he'll try to get you tomorrow. You know, he'll just keep trying, keep coming, keep doing. And so we got to stay on guard, right? We got to set our guard. And when he tries to bring seed or things into our life that's not of God, we have to have enough word in our life to recognize them, right? See, that's the disadvantage of not knowing the word, is you can be deceived. And the problem with being deceived is you're deceived, right? It's like the guy with the blind spot. You know, I heard this years ago. A guy said this. He said, if three people call you a donkey, buy a saddle. Not everybody's wrong. You know? In other words, there's a blind spot in your life that you don't recognize, and people are noticing something in you. Maybe you need to check it out. Even if they're wrong, you're projecting something. I'm saying if multiple people see something, maybe I need to examine something. No? Yes. You know, in my own life, I mean, I've always been I don't want to say a serious person, but I'm very stoic. And people sometimes think, he's mad. And I've had people say, man, the pastor's mad. And I'm thinking, I ain't mad. Now, you're about to make me mad, but I'm not mad. You know what I'm saying? Well, then, and you get a bunch of people telling you you look mad, then maybe you need to notify your face. I'm not mad. God is good all the time. I mean, and so, and I'm just saying, sometimes we got to, instead of blaming everybody else, look at our own life and say, okay, I need to make some adjustment here. No? Because I hate to break this to you, but going through this life, you're going to have to be able to get along with a few people. Come on, D. You can do it. You can do it. But the thing is, you know, it's just you got to get along with a few people. You got to have a few friends. You got to, you know, life is better when you have people in your life that have like precious faith and have the same spirit as you and wants to be there to minister to you. And so we do need to have a few folks in our life. And so we want to make sure that, you know, let's sow the seed of the kingdom in our life. Let's not let the enemy sow the tares. And don't justify the tares. In other words, if there's something in your life and you know it's not right, don't justify it. Right? And don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you, you know, one thing I know for sure is I couldn't save myself. I needed a Savior. Jesus changed my life. Not people. Jesus changed my life. Now, don't misunderstand me. I've had some good preaching in my life. I've heard some good preachers. I've heard some good truths. But none of it matters if you don't receive it. Right? You got to be willing to receive the truth in your life that can transform your life. Jesus put it this way in the 8th chapter of John. He said, if you will continue in my word, then you'll be my disciple indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So more truth, more freedom. Right? See, when you have truth, lies lose their power over you. And this is going to sound probably carnal to you, but the greatest thing you can ever have in your life is a confidence in who you are in God. Because the more confident you are of who you are in God, the less the adversary can have influence in your life. Because you see who you are in Jesus. And you know what I've learned over the years? I've heard people say, well, if you go around believing now that you're righteous and that you're this, you're going to be arrogant. I found it does exactly the opposite. Because the more you understand that everything in you is God, is from God, it actually makes you more humble. Because you realize, this is Jesus. It's Jesus, because I know who I am. I know what I am without Jesus. I know what I am. And so thank you, Jesus. But that doesn't change the fact. You know, I hear people say this, I couldn't do anything without Jesus. Yeah, but you're not without Jesus. You should be saying, I can do all things with Jesus. Because that's, I can do all things through what? Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Amen. See, the adversary loves that false humility. And that happens to us when we don't understand who we are in the Word. So the more you understand the Word and it's in your life and it's working in you know, it's like, I don't know if any of you watch any YouTube stuff, but it's like if you watch YouTube stuff about food, there's nothing you can eat. You can't even drink water anymore. Every time I drink water at my house, I can smell the chlorine. And I've been told about the ills of chlorine. So every time I'm drinking it, it's hard to drink it in faith, right? So I'll drink it out of a bottle of water. But then I found out the plastics are worse, right? And if you go to your refrigerator, I don't know about your refrigerator, but if I go to my refrigerator to get water and it comes out there, it's come up a plastic line to get to my cup. So they want to just fill you up with fear. Now, you should eat fruit, except the outside of that fruit has so many chemicals on it, it's probably going to kill you. You know, it's like when they get done, then you're done. There ain't no eating. So, I mean, you got to decide what you're going to believe. I mean, that's just the bottom line of it, okay? And there's things that I do, and there's things, but people do that even in church. This group will attack this group, and this group attacks this group, and, you know, if you believe this, you're of the devil and a false teacher, and if you did it, and I'm sitting there thinking, with everything going on in the world, we need to be attacking each other? With abortion and transgender and homosexual, you're going to be mad at me because I believe, you know, in speaking in tongues, okay? Wow. That's really something to be upset about. You don't want to? Don't. I'm easy. You know what I mean? I'm not mad at anybody. My point is I'm not here to attack other people. Preach the word. Preach the word that I know, right? I was born into a family that believed in speaking in tongues. I was raised in that. I was raised in a family that believed in divine healing. So, and I was raised in a home that believed you can't go to heaven and live like hell. And I'm just not ready to give up that. It's what I believe. But I'm not mad at you, right? And it just really chaps me when I get on, and everybody's after each other. It's like, stop it. Let's encourage each other. What we can't agree on, let's agree on it, right? I have friends that say, I will never play Bethel music. And I'm thinking, man, there's some good music coming out of there. Or somebody said, I'll say, I'll never play Hillsong music. I'm like, wow, that's a good song right there. To me, my attitude is this. If it's Bible, nobody's got a corner on it. See, these same people couldn't listen to David because he was an adulterer and a murderer. And they wouldn't give him a chance for forgiveness. You know what I'm saying? It's like, quit doing that. Let's not do that. Let's get into the things. Let's sow the word in us. Let's be free in our walk with God. And you know what the truth of it is? You'll set your own priorities, just like I'll set my own priorities. And one of my priorities is to spend enough time in the Word of God that I can't be deceived. right? Pray enough to feel like at the end of the day, hey, I spent some time with God, and then think of him through the day. Amen? Remember his presence. In his presence. Amen? The Bible said in his presence is the fullness of joy. So you're always in God's presence. Don't think you're only in God's presence when you got chill bumps. You're in God's presence all the time. You and me both just need to be aware of them. Amen? I mean, Sandy and I will watch TV, and sometimes I'm watching TV, and I think, I don't think Jesus would want to watch this. And if I'm watching it, Jesus is having to watch it, so I think I'll watch something else. You know, it's as simple as that. It's not complicated. Amen? So let's get sowing the right seed in our life, you know, and we find seed in our life or things in our life that's not God. Let's start moving away from it. No, yes, anybody care? I'm going to start moving away from it. We want to please Jesus, don't we? Amen. That's what it's about. Two people I like to please, Jesus and my wife. I saw one. You know how people say, happy wife, happy life? I saw one the other day, no wife, happy life. That is not true. That is not true. My life would not be happy without my wife. So I'm trying to smooth it over now, okay? All right, let's stand. Thanks for